Would you please join with me now in a spirit of prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I think many of you know that my husband John and I spend Thanksgiving each year in Lake Tahoe. We travel across the country so that we can spend the holiday with our dear friends, AJ and Darianne, and their two boys, Calvin and Finn. They all live in California, and while Tahoe isn't exactly halfway in terms of a meeting spot, it's not exactly a sacrifice on our part to travel all that way to spend time with people that we love in such a beautiful place. Now, Calvin will be starting high school in the fall, and Finn is moving up to middle school. But we have been going to Tahoe for 10 years now, so the boys were much younger in the early days of our Thanksgiving tradition. And of course, Finn has always wanted to do everything his older brother could do. So when Calvin stopped napping, you can imagine how excited Finn was about having to go down for a nap when his big brother could stay up and play. I remember one day in particular because Finn was so tired. He was cranky and irritable, and of course his big brother knew how to push all of his buttons, so there was a lot of yelling and whining. Darianne finally suggested that maybe Finn should lie down for a nap, and he burst into tears and started yelling over and over again, "But I'm not tired!" How many of you have seen that very same scenario play out with your own children or grandchildren or godchildren? Now, I love today's scripture reading from Isaiah because he seems to understand the human condition. We're so tired, but we won't take a nap. We're so thirsty, but we won't come to the water and drink. We're so hungry, but we will spend our resources on things that don't really satisfy us instead of eating what is good and nourishing. In this passage, it's like Isaiah is grabbing a hold of our shoulders, looking us right in the eye and saying, "Enough! Whether you realize you are thirsty or not, whether you realize you are hungry or not, you need what God has to give you." Isaiah reminds us that a relationship with God is the richest nourishment we could ever have in our lives. So in the midst of the false promises that the world offers us, false promises of how we can achieve a good life or a full life, a successful life, a happy life, a meaningful life, an exciting life. Instead of seeking after those kinds of false promises, Isaiah invites us to seek the Lord. Isaiah invites us to let go. To let go of the idea that we can buy our way to happiness or work our way to fulfillment. He invites us to let go of the idea that we can control our lives and the world around us if only we try hard enough. Because no matter how hard we work, no matter how much we buy, no matter how hard we try to hold on to control, we will never find true satisfaction apart from God. Now, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous have something to teach us here. In the first step, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago, alcoholics admit that they are powerless over alcohol and that their lives have become unmanageable. In the second step, they come to believe that only a power greater than they are can restore them to sanity. And in step three, they make a decision to turn their lives over to God. What would it take for you to do the same? Maybe it's not alcohol or drugs that have made your life unmanageable. Maybe it's smoking or gambling. Maybe it's an addiction of another sort, an addiction to food or sex, work or exercise. Maybe you can't stop shopping or checking your phone. Maybe you can't stop worrying about the future. Maybe you can't stop doubting yourself. Maybe you just can't stop. So what would it take? What would it take for you to admit that you cannot keep going like this? What would it take for you to let Isaiah grab you by the shoulders, look you right in the eye, and say, "Enough already"? Whether you realize it or not, you need what God has and what only God can give you. What would it take for you to turn your whole life over to God? Now, I get it. It can be scary to do that. It can be scary to surrender ourselves to God, to let go of control, and it can be hard to trust God because, as Isaiah reminds us, God's ways are not our ways, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. But maybe that's also a gift, because we can trust that God is more loving than we could ever imagine, and God is more merciful than we could ever deserve. And maybe then, surrender doesn't have to be so scary. Maybe surrender can be sweet. Maybe we can trust that even though we can't fully see or understand how God can do such extraordinary things in our lives and in the world, maybe what we can trust is this: God is near. God is merciful. God is loving. And God will never stop calling us to the feast, a feast that can satisfy and nourish us in ways beyond our imagining. Friends, the table is set for us if we are ready to surrender. Amen. Amen.